811 at WEOL. See on my board note, Craig booked an interview, and he wrote down Audrey Hepburn. That we're going to talk to an author of a biography of Audrey Hepburn. It's all about the movie, the glamour, the fashion, the icon. But this is called Warrior Audrey Hepburn. Here to explain a little bit of that is Robert Mattson. Robert, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. It's nice to be here.
Thanks. Your first book that you wrote on Audrey Hepburn was called Dutch Girl, Audrey Hepburn in World War II. So this is kind of like her younger years. Warrior Audrey Hepburn sort of deals with her, sort of the bookends from her sort of movie career, right? I mean, that's where this kind of places it, correct?
Yeah. So Dutch Girl was young Audrey under Nazi occupation and all that happened to her and everyone else in Europe at that time. Warrior is, yes, the bookend. It's the other end of her life. It's past her career when she's retired and living this comfortable life and decides, you know what? I want to have one more adventure. And the adventure she chose was UNICEF. And really, it's a story of her courage, her personal courage, and her positive attitude, really, through, you know, 5 years working with the poor around the world and really, you know, attacking that with everything she had based on her whole life.
UNICEF, United Nations Children's Fund, how did she become acquainted with them or be the one that became sort of that spokesperson, as it were?
Well, that's a great question. She had had been a beneficiary of UNICEF at the end of World War II after the liberation of her town in the Netherlands. The precursor to UNICEF came in and brought food and clothing, and she, as a young person, she was 15 years old at that time, she understood how much these things meant. And so after her career, she's looking around, what am I going to do with my life? I'm still young, I'm still vital, I have something to give. And UNICEF happened to come to her and say, hey, you know what? We need a fill-in host in Macau, of all places, to just spend 5 minutes on stage. Would you do that for us? And she's like, I've never been to Macau. Okay. And that's how it got started. And when they wanted her to make a commitment and be a goodwill ambassador, she really fought with herself about that because she had a life. You know, she knew how she was. Once she committed to UNICEF, it was a 100% commitment, all guns a-blazing. And so, you know, she had to come to a decision.
When you're putting this story together, I guess first, what brought you to this story? I thought this would make a good book. As also, how do you kind of piece that section of her life together? What kind of research did you have to do?
Well, it's another great question. I had finished with Audrey. Dutch Girl was the only Audrey story that needed to be told, as far as I knew. I got to be good friends with her son, Luca, and it was Luca that brought me this idea. You know, here's a side of my mother that nobody knew. You know, this courageous, you know, personally brave person and all that she accomplished for UNICEF. And that story needs to be told. And once I started down that road, you know, I realized that he was right. You know, he called his mother a badass soldier, you know, and I'm like, what? You know, Audrey Hepburn? I didn't see her in that light, but then talking to people that she worked with in the field, talking to her UNICEF boss, talking to her best friend, and of course, talking to Luca, you know, this story emerged.
Share with us, I guess, some of the, I guess, unknown stories that you were able to uncover.
Well, the one that I go back to over and over again is in the middle of her UNICEF career, she went to Sudan. Sudan is still in the news. You know, Sudan is still a very rough spot of the world. And she went there to start what was called Operation Lifeline Sudan, which was getting supplies into southern Sudan where there was a civil war raging. And she got in country and she started to do her job. And then they stopped her and said, you can't go into the south. It's too dangerous. And really what the government was saying, it was a Muslim government. They were trying to wipe out the Christians in the South, and they didn't want her to see that and report it to the world. So they said, you can't go there. And she said, okay, I'll leave. But she didn't leave. She went across the border and flew at night in secret back into southern Sudan to see what was going on for herself. It was extremely dangerous. And Luca didn't find out about it until afterwards. And how he found out was they were telling stories about being in Sudan when they got back to Switzerland. And she said, you know, we were given flak jackets at one point and started to put them on. And they said, no, don't put them on. Sit on them, because they were going to take a plane over the border into Sudan and bullets would be coming up through the fuselage. So sit on your flak jackets. And at that point, it was the first time Luca understood what his mother was actually doing when she went out for UNICEF.
What time period are we talking about? What years is this taking place?
So this was 1988 was her first mission, and 1992 was her last mission.
We were talking this morning with Robert Mattson. The book is called Warrior Audrey Hepburn. What did she bring from her Hollywood life, her previous life, to this that was able to, you know, forward the cause? Was it just a name recognition? Was there something else that was able to be utilized at that point?
Audrey was a very private person. That was, you know, that's in studying her life and talking with everyone who knew her, that was the overriding thing. But at this time in the 80s, she was starting to understand how powerful her name was. And she was in a unique position of any celebrity in the world to use her name for UNICEF. And what did that mean? That meant that wherever she went for UNICEF, you know, into whatever troubled area of the world, cameras and reporters would follow her and draw attention to that situation. And so that, plus her incredible poise before the camera and her ability to sort of act, invest herself in whatever scene she was in, you know, it made her just a tremendous mouthpiece for UNICEF and you know, this advocate for people. She called giving voice to the voiceless. You know, this is really a story of this person's power as a human being and how she chose to wield it.
A lot of times people have different acts in their life, you know, different things they go through. And you kind of, even in your two books, kind of show those different types of times in someone's lives that they are going through. What was I'm kind of looking at that time period and wondering, as an actress or something like that, she just gave that up? The Hollywood and people kind of, you know, thought at that point she was not something that they would be able to utilize, or she was just happy with what she was doing? Where was she kind of in her life that was something that she was then taking over?
She spent the 1980s looking at scripts. And she was sent scripts all the time. But they, when you get to be in your 50s, and that's where she was at this point, like she was 55, 56 years old, the roles, just like today, you know, there are very few roles for actresses of her age. And the ones that she got, you know, she didn't want to be in a slasher movie. And, you know, she had no use for any of that. So plus movie making had sort of passed her by. This was no longer, you know, a pampered star with a fatherly director. This was more run and gun, multiple cameras. It was a world that she just knew wasn't for her. So that's why she was at loose ends. And, you know, I still feel young, you know. Heck, I'm older than she was then, and I still feel young. We all, you know, sort of have to deal with whatever stage of life we're at, as you say. And so that's how she arrived at this point where I got to do something. I've got things to offer.
From doing the research for that, what did you find out that they said that she got from this? What kind of enjoyment, accomplishment, sort of validation or whatever? Did you get any sense of that?
Yeah, she loved trying to help people. It was always better to her to try. And that's why I think that this book is important to the world, is she tried to help. There were so many cynics all around her all the time saying, Audrey Hepburn's just in this for, you know, to keep her name out there. Audrey Hepburn doesn't understand that she's helping, you know, Marxist governments, whatever. And it just annoyed her so much. Because how can you see a situation where maybe you can help and not try? And so it was always the positivity. It was always, let's try. It's always, let's go. Let's see what we can do. And that, she found that very personally rewarding. It was von Heemstra family trait. Her family was Dutch nobility, and they were always trying to help those less fortunate, and she was carrying on that tradition.
How has UNICEF survived since then, in a sense? I'm just curious, because, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's out there, you always see it, it's trying to help the children in the world, and you wonder, is this a never-ending battle? What is good that's being done of it?
Well, it is a never-ending battle, and UNICEF is doing the best that UNICEF can. And what she used to preach then is still true, that UNICEF doesn't hand people money, poor people money, and say, go buy food. UNICEF helps a village dig a well or bring water in or build infrastructure. You know, that's what UNICEF does around the world and still does. And she was its most powerful advocate ever. There was never anyone like her, and there may never be again. And I think I used to struggle with, why is this woman still so revered? Why am I talking to you on the radio now about somebody who died so long ago, like 28 years ago? And I think it's because of this extra quality she brought of, you know, wanting to help, wanting to do good. I think that as much as her Academy Awards and her movies is what makes her sort of immortal.
Does her son like the book or like the story, or, you know, because he's the one that kind of brought it to you as well? Did it kind of come out the way that he had hoped?
Oh, he loves it. He does. He thinks it captures his mother, and it taught him a lot of things that he didn't know. It put perspective to a lot of the stories she would bring back to the field, like the one about the plane. You know, now he understands, because I managed to find the UNICEF guy who put this night flight together, he understands why his mother was sitting on a flak vest.
And all the danger that becomes a part of it, but still continuing on. Again, it's called Warrior. Audrey Hepburn, our guest this morning, Robert Mattson, author of that. If people want to find out more about this book or some of the other ones you've written, where's a good place to get that?
Oh, heck, you know, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, my website, robertmattson.com. I have a blog. Hopefully I'm easy to find.
Absolutely. Robert, well, we had no trouble getting you on the air this morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks.